Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We give stuff away each and every day at 7, 8, and 9 o'clock just for listening. This hour's prize, $25 to Twin Peaks. And Ryan always makes it simple to win.
Yes, I do, because I'm pretty simple myself.
All you have to do is be listening for this.
Next time you hear that, be caller number
5 for the Hall of Famer's birthday today.
What?
George Brett's birthday today.
Oh, well, I better put that down on the paper.
Yes.
Next time you hear that, be caller number 5-913-576-7610. I get you $25 to go out to Twin Peaks. Reach one of those billionaire bacon burgers. Those are delicious.
You find out the name of...
Nope. Ben Efferty.
Nope. Okay. They're not answering the phone.
It's busy. 7-11. Busy at the 7-Eleven
I tell you, it's a busy time of day. People are coming and going.
It's I've called twice. It rang so long that the fax machine picked up both times.
Well, there you go. Fax
maybe
your order.
Maybe send a fax.
What is your name?
We have a fax machine out here in the newsroom. Go for it.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Didn't know this was a thing, but ESPN tweeted out, Mike Clay, who's one of their fantasy football guys at ESPN, tweeted out, sad day as we've officially deactivated Calvin Johnson from the ESPN fantasy database. Apparently, it's much like the Hall of Fame or something. After a few years, you roll off the ballot.
Yeah, I guess so. That's a good comparison, right?
I guess this was a thing. So they've taken a bunch of names off there that are either retired or no longer in the league.
Or they don't think we'll play anymore, yeah. Or, you know, maybe not retired, maybe not on their own volition, but the league has basically said, we're done with you, and so we're moving on from a lot of these players. A couple of surprising names on that list.
So they point out other notables on the list, Devin Hester, mm-hmm. and Quan Bolden.
How long has Devin Hester been out of the game now? I feel like he played in the 90s, Josh.
Not quite that long. Well, you know, how long's Tobe been here?
That is true, you know, yeah.
Tobe's been here a while now. D'Angelo Williams, Percy Harvin, Dennis Pitta, Johnny Manziel.
Wow, that's a shocker.
And Doriel Green Beckham.
Yeah. DGB. Talk about a wasted talent. Like in our area of Kansas City, in this area and this generation, like, has anybody wasted more talent than Doriel Green Beckham? I mean, what a colossal waste of talent.
Number one recruit in the country.
Yeah. And became
payoff there.
A loser. I mean, basically.
Payoff in the NFL.
So, yeah, nothing. Yeah.
So apparently you fall off their fantasy database.
Johnny Manziel too, man. Talk about a guy that just had the opportunity to. Johnny Manziel had the opportunity to be really the All-American boy in the NFL. You know, he had that. People loved him. He was a great player in college. He was fantastic, and then just never put in the work or the effort to play in the NFL and play professional sports. That's the biggest problem, the biggest downfall with a lot of these guys at the professional level, is they don't know how to handle adversity. And when they face adversity for the first time, they really don't know what to do. And I remember Allard Barrett, and Dayton Moore even says this a lot as well, we're more concerned with how these guys handle failure than how they handle success, because throughout all of their careers, success was very easy for them, and they never really had to deal with or face a failing type of moment as an individual. And then they get up to the big league level, or they get up to the NFL or the NHL or the NBA, and all of a sudden everybody around them is just as good, if not better, than they are, and they're not the best player anymore. How are they going to handle failure? And I think Johnny Manziel is the poster boy for how you don't handle failure and how you don't act when you get into the NFL. You've got to work hard. You've got to dedicate yourself. You've got to be willing to prepare and put in all the work off the field, because just being a good athlete isn't going to get the job done on the field in the NFL. So it's really interesting to see some of the names on this list, but more importantly, the DGB and Johnny Manziel were two guys that had every opportunity in the world to have success, and the reason they didn't have success was 100% self-inflicted on them. They just didn't care enough to have success.
And yeah, Manziel, you think about, like, he was really fun to watch in college.
God, wasn't he?
There's some old I don't know that there's anybody that's been that fun. Maybe since, you know? I think there's decent enough players every year. But,
right.
But, man, he was like, tune in, must watch. I didn't think he was a can't-miss NFL guy, but I thought it was based on, like, skill
mm-hmm.
rather than his own demons.
Right,
you know?
Sure.
Being not able to handle moving on to the pro game. But,
right.
But, he was so much fun to watch in college. That one, you like, left you disappointed. Like, man, it should have produced something in the NFL.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, DGB, did he get Missouri anything? Maybe got him on the map because they got the number one pick. But,
right.
Or the number one ranked recruit in the country.
Sure.
Maybe that led to some other ones. I don't know. But certainly didn't feel like he got the value on the field, and certainly he didn't produce in the NFL either.
No, he really didn't, and that's a shame because I thought he had a lot of talent. Like, I thought he was going to be a difference maker for Mizzou, and maybe he I don't know if he was and helped, you know, what's his name, get drafted in the first round. Who was the quarterback that got drafted in the first round that's still floating around the National Football League that played at Mizzou? Chase Blackburn or something, whatever the guy's name was. He got him drafted in the first round, and maybe that's what his contribution ultimately will be to the University of Missouri. But Doriel Green Beckham is one of those guys that you look at and you go, how could you be so useless in both college and in the NFL? And not just at Mizzou, then he went to Oklahoma for like 5 minutes and then had an opportunity in the NFL and didn't take advantage of that. Like, I guess I don't get mad when players fail. But guys are going to fail. It's going to happen. What I get mad is when guys like Doriel Green Beckham and Johnny Manziel, those guys piss me off because they've got God-given ability that most of us don't have, and they've got a 10-cent head, and they don't take advantage of what they're given. They don't take advantage of those gifts, and they don't go out there and realize their potential because they're not, you know, behaving off the field and they're getting into trouble off the field. Like, man, you've got an opportunity here. Can you behave for 5 to 10 years and go out there and make your money and impress on the field, and that's all you got to do? And then by the time you hit 30, you can go party all you want, man. And instead, they pee away an opportunity like Doriel Green Beckham and Johnny Manziel did. It's very frustrating.
Blaine Gabbert.
That's who it was. Yes.
Of that list of people they had on it, I would love to see more Calvin Johnson, maybe in more meaningful games. And then the other one for me was Devin Hester.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting when you look at Devin Hester's Pro Football Reference page. First thing listed isn't his offense. They just cut right to it. Kicks and punt returns.
So
that's the first thing listed. And then you got to go down to find his offensive stats. Always wanted him, much like you see sometimes with the big time returners.
Mm-hmm.
Always want to see them take it to the every down thing.
Right.
Like, I always wanted to see, oh man, Devin Hester is a fantastic returner. Now can he play wide receiver?
Look, bro, there's only one guy that's really done that in the NFL, and he wears number 10 for the Chiefs currently, right now. Most of these guys that come in that are these great returners aren't really much on the offensive side of the football. And that's why the Tyreek Hill one is so maddening, because that guy's got all kinds of talent but can't behave and do the right things off the field in order to utilize those talents on the field. I hope for everybody's sake that we're not sitting here in a couple of years talking about Tyreek Hill as the guy, man, wish we could have seen more out of that guy. But we may be sitting there thinking, man, I wish we could have seen more out of that guy. Because guys like him, you're right, the Devin Hesters, the Dexter McClusters, the Dante Halls, the Dave Meggetts, like all of these guys that were great returners really didn't do much on the offensive side.
I always want to see a 1,000-yard season out of them, you know, and being a massive, you know, offensive weapon too. And it's hard to do.
It's hard to do. And number 10 has found a way to do that, but he's also not found a way to, you know, behave himself properly off the field where he's not in trouble.
Aside from Bo and DT, the kind of the leave you wanting more category, who else would fall in that for you?
For Kansas City or just in general?
Kansas City.
I think Hosmer kind of always left me wanting more. Like, I expected 30 and 100 every year out of him. I guess maybe my expectation level was too high. I'll tell you what, the guy I really want to see more out of is Nicky Lopez right now. We haven't gotten enough of Nicky Lopez.
Yeah,
we have not gotten enough of Nicky Lopez right
for
now.
Me, Priest, actually.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a really good one, Josh.
I mean, did a lot of nice things, but I just wanted like, you know, 10, 15 years of that.
Right.
I know that's not feasible, but
well, for a running back, at least could get 5 years out of it. Maybe Jamal falls into that category.
Quite possibly.
I mean, maybe he falls into that category. Or maybe you get a guy like, you know, Tamba Hali that falls into that category. Justin Houston could fall into that category. Had a great year and then kind of fell off after that. I mean, there's guys that battled injury all the time too that you wanted to see do well. I mean, I would love to see more Derek Johnson, but, you know, he's my favorite player of all time with the Chiefs. So, yeah, 69306 on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line. Who do you want to see more of in New York City?
I'd have taken, Wings would have been good, I'd taken a little more Greinke. I know it ultimately got you a lot of pieces to your World Series puzzle.
But more Greinke in the years of winning, meaningful team years.
I would have taken more Greinke, and also I would have liked a little more Joe Montana.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Give me a little more Joe. Maybe you get a Super Bowl.
Maybe you do. From the 816, Josh, I'm not surprised you didn't say Gale Sarah since you covered him.
It's true. Yeah. It's true. I covered him when he was back as the whatever he did at KU when he returned. Yeah. Saw him.
High-paid handshaker.
Yes.
I want that job.
Today in history.
Gentlemen, I'm here to help you with your history report.
Sure. Sounds important.
Do you know what today is?
History! What's today? October?
It's May 15th, 2019, and today in history, brought to you by, if I can get my computer to work right, brought to you by Airport Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram at the corner of I-29 and 435 or online at kcairportcdjr.com. Oh, boys, a lot of very important things happening on April 15th. Did you know that on this day in 1940, McDonald's opened its first restaurant?
Are you kidding me? Really? Today, 1940?
Today, 1940. Happy birthday, McDonald's.
I like that movie, The Founder. I've watched it a couple of times.
Was it the two guys opened the place and then got it stolen by Ray Kroc?
No, this was the two brothers that opened the...
The two McDonald brothers?
This was before Ray Kroc swooped in and ruined everything.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that Ray Kroc ruined everything. I think Ray Kroc took the concept and took it to the next level.
Ask those brothers.
Well, ask those brothers for being so stupid in negotiations and getting a handshake deal. That should be a lesson to everybody. Tom Hedrick taught me that in college. There's two things you should trust. The man looking back at you in the mirror when you're shaving and a document signed by both parties. That's on the McDonald brothers. Get it in writing.
You had a professor named Max Hedrum?
Tom Hedrick, just recently retired, was honored by the state of Kansas as being the professor who founded me.
Oh, we've really jumped the shark today, didn't we?
Yes.
On this day in 2002, the Wu-Tang Clan name generator goes online. there's an app that basically turns your real name into one that was suited for a Wu-Tang Clan member.
Oh, cool.
Donald Glover actually got his stage name from the Clan generator.
What was his stage name?
Childish Gambino.
Oh, okay.
So there you go. Now you know the story of Childish Gambino. Also on this day in 1912, Ty Cobb, he rushed the stands and beat the hell out of a heckler. Almost beat him to death with a shoe.
Really?
Shouldn't have laughed about that.
Well, it was a metal spike. I mean, I'm sure you could impair somebody with that.
Cobb claims that he was hurling lewd and rude insults at him.
Allegedly,
the gentleman was implying that he liked African Americans.
From the text line, 913.
1912 was a real bad thing to say.
From the text line, Ryan, 913, you'll appreciate this. Ray Kroc equals Naismith.
Yeah, see? It's true. Lambert Will's the guy we should be talking about. On this day of 2010, some chick named Jessica Watson at the age of 16 became the youngest person to sail solo, nonstop, and unassisted around the world.
Did she go around the Cape of Good Hope?
Sure, I guess. On this day in 1905, Las Vegas was founded in Nevada.
Oh, okay, cool. Hmm.
By Corleone's brother.
Right, yeah. From Kansas City.
Fredo.
Happy birthday to the devil's armpit.
Fredo was in on that.
That's right.
1928, on this day, Mickey Mouse made his first ever appearance in the silent film Plain Crazy.
Good Lord. May 15th was a big day for things.
Do you recall the initial reaction to Mickey Mouse playing?
Trademark pending.
Yeah. Is it good? Initial review of Mickey Mouse? No? Because you're old? And lastly for you on this day.
You already burned that, but that's right.
Lastly for you. On this day in 1957, Elvis Presley inhaled a cap from one of his teeth and had to be taken to a hospital to have it removed from his lung.
My, that's not good.
That was not good. Happy 43rd.
Didn't kill him, though.
No.
It didn't.
Peanut butter sandwich did.
Ooh-ah.
Peanut butter banana sandwich did.
Happy 43rd birthday to Ryan Leaf. Alleged murderer Ray Lewis turns 44 today. And George Brett, the legend, he turned 66. Happy birthday, legend George.
Happy birthday, George. We know you're listening this morning, so happy birthday to you.
All of that happening on this day in history.
Best athlete to ever play in Kansas City.
Now Patrick Mahomes is here.
Not yet. Not yet.
The
not
side
yet.
Of Nicky Lopez. You're going to throw Lopez. That in there.
George would tip his cap to Nicky Lopez and say Nicky is ready to take the crown.
George did beat Kevin Ward though at that golf tournament.
He did. So. He did.
Aaron and KC, your winner. This hour's prize: $25 to Twin Peaks. We give stuff away at 7, 8, and 9 o'clock just for listening. The Royals are going for something that's very commendable. But attainable, we'll discuss next.
And hey, there's Kevin Ward. Kevin Ward's here. Oh, my God.
Fesco in the morning.
It's a little more of a reggae slow jam for you. Still working on finding out that guy's name.
12 minutes away from your chance to win $1,000. Be listening for that keyword. 1,000 on the 30s coming up at 7:30, 72881 at that time when you get that code for your shot at $1,000. Royals bringing up one of their specs yesterday. Nicky Lopez joined us on the show yesterday. If you missed that, check it out in the on-demand section, 610sports.com. You'll love his story of how he heard about being called up.
Mm-hmm. First heard here on 610 Sports Radio.
Or you can check it out via the radio.com app as well. The Royals bringing up their top prospect. Promptly go out and score 11 runs. You make the call.
I'm telling you what, I've been calling for Nicky Lopez for 2 years now. The minute he comes up, they score 11 and they crush their opponent and they're undefeated.
So from Ken Rosenthal. Huh. He says the Royals are, quote, internally talking about the second wild card.
What'd you say?
Just 8 games out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also in reference to a little bit of Alex Gordon. If Gordon wanted to join a contender, the Royals almost certainly would try to accommodate him. But the safer bet is that he stays put, then re-signs with the Royals and finishes his career in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm. He's not getting $23 million from the Royals next year.
And that they would also want to keep Gordon because they are trying to pursue the second wild card.
Correct.
Noble.
Mm-hmm.
I like the thinking. I think you have to be in that mindset. We're not just out here playing games just to be playing games. We need to show something. And I think the Royals do need to show wins.
They do.
I think they need to show their fan base some wins. If you have 2 years of really down seasons and you're just giving us hope, I don't know how well that's going to resonate. So to hear that they are trying to push themselves in the race, albeit a very slim chance, I think is still the right message. They still have to be saying, we're playing for something. We're going for that second wild card, even though right now, again, they're last in the division, and chasing down that wild card seems unlikely. I think they still have to be in that mindset.
Well, you have to. You have to send a message inside your organization that this is not acceptable. You know, this losing is not acceptable here in Kansas City. And I believe, like, you can continue to say, well, we're developing talent, and Ned's excited that Keller and Junis have been struggling a little bit so they can figure it out here at the big league level. But you have to win ball games, and ultimately that's where I think the front office is right now. We have to win ball games, and you know there's kind of a plan if you look at it. If they can go 2 or 3 games above 500 to finish the month of May, if they can go 3 or 4 games above 500 to finish June, they can go 3 or 4 games above 500 in July. They will be right in the middle of things once the August 1st kind of deadline, if you will, rolls around, right there around that trade deadline in Major League Baseball. And if you can go into August and you're right in the middle of things and you've got a fighting chance and you're like 4 back of the wild card, of the second wild card going into August, hey, this team always plays good in September. You know that. Like every year they seemingly play well in September. So if they could have a really good August and then steamroll that into a really good September and they're only 4 back of that final wild card spot, then you give yourself a fighting chance. My biggest concern with this going in and thinking that you have an opportunity for that wild card is, can they put together a 10-game winning streak, Josh? Because they essentially have to match that 10-game losing streak that they had at the start of the season.
And that wouldn't even get you to 500.
And that doesn't get you to 500, right? So you've got to find a way to win a lot of games in a row and not have a lot of losses in there. And I don't know from a pitching standpoint – if they have the ability to do that. Like, they've got to win 7 of 8. They've got to win 7 of 8. They've got to win 7 of 8. You know what I'm saying? It's like they've got to win like 21 out of 24 or something like that just to get back to
pretty
where
tough
they,
to do.
It's hard to do. It's hard to do. But it still needs to be the goal from this organization. The organization now, the front office side of things, it's time to start expecting this team to win. Alex Gordon is a good left fielder. Billy Hamilton plays a great defense in center field. You've got now Whit Merrifield playing right field for you. You've upgraded there. You've got Nicky Lopez at second. You've got Mondi up the middle. You've got Dozier knocking the cover off the baseball right now. You've got enough good pieces in this lineup to start winning more games. You can't sit here and say, well, we're learning, we're young, we're doing all of this. No, it's time to start now winning some games here at the big league level. And I think the Royals showed you yesterday what they're all about and what their mindset is right now by bringing up Nicky Lopez. It would have been very easy to keep him down here, but they want to start winning at the big league level. And having Nicky Lopez on this team gives them a better opportunity to win baseball games than having Nicky Lopez down in Triple A Omaha. So that's what they have to do. And the other thing, and you mentioned this, I think, in the break or maybe the start of the segment, Josh, where you said if they're going to bring back the core like Dayton told us, like they like the core of this team, if you're coming on back-to-back 100-loss seasons, how are you going to sell that
something.
Core to
yeah.
the fan base that it is going to be okay to bring a lot of these guys
back? Yeah, I mean,
back,
I think that's a difficult sell. You got to start showing some wins. And I'm not saying, hey, this team should be contending, you know, 2 years after. But if 2020 and 2021, if we're to believe that, you need to start seeing some tangible proof other than the little in-game aspects that we've discussed.
Sure.
It has to be wins.
You have to get about 75 wins.
And I think that's what they're thinking, too. We got to stack up some wins here.
Right.
And if stacking up wins means we make a run at a wild card, that'd be great. I don't think it's bad to say and it's bad to think. While it's a little bit not feasible to me that they're going to be in a wild card chase, mm-hmm. I think that they have to put themselves in that mindset.
They have to.
We have to stack up some wins. We have to prove to people this is going to be something not necessarily to fully consume this year, but we got next year to think about.
Right.
If we're turning this thing around and we're going to make another wave and do all these things, you can't keep everybody on the hook. Got to start showing some wins. So I'm glad they're in that mindset. I don't think that they're going to be legitimately in any type of wild card race this year.
Sure.
But I like that that's the thing.
I do,
I'm
too.
Good with that. And then the Gordon thing, obviously I'd been in the camp of, man, he's having a good season. Trade him. You're doing him a favor, sending him to a contender. Get a little something back. You've kind of taken care of each other. If he doesn't want to go, if he wants to finish his career, I can totally accept that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I can totally accept based on this year. If he finishes out this year the way he's playing now, why retire?
Right.
Not come back for $23 million, but I wouldn't be kicking and screaming if there was an everybody-friendly one-year deal at the end of this year to bring back Alex Gordon for one more year, and he has a, you know, kind of farewell season.
Well, there's a $4 million like buyout for him, and you can roll that into a $4 million payout for him to pay here and make that part of his contract going forward for next season. And I would be fine with that. I think the way he's playing right now, why would you want to give up on him? And,
yeah.
You know, you're going to have Witt in right and Gordon in left and, you know, figure out what you're going to do in center field, get Salvi back healthy.
I don't have
healthy.
A problem with that. I would, you know, if he were willing
mm-hmm.
and wanted to and you could thought you could get something in return – that would be of some value. I wouldn't hesitate to do that if I'm the Royals, but, you know, hey, there are heartstrings involved in this thing, too, and there are relationships involved with this thing, too. And if in his heart of hearts he doesn't want to do it and he wants to be a lifer with the Royals and try to have this team win, I'm not going to have a problem with that.
There's one thing that people aren't thinking about and don't understand when it comes to Alex Gordon and why he may want to be a lifer with the Royals. I want to get into that on the other side.
Your chance to win $1,000 as well. Be listening for that keyword in just a couple of minutes. And it's really hard not to romanticize baseball. We had another edition of that last night as well. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
It's 1,000 on the 30s. Text the code word water. 272881 water, WATER water, 272881. You could be the $1,000 cash winner in the national contest. 610 Sports Radio, the only sports radio station in Kansas City, giving you a chance to win up to $12,000 each weekday. Listen on the 30s from 7 to 7. Your next chance at 8:30. Complete rules at 610sports.com. Water, 272881 for your chance at $1,000.
In Philadelphia, they say it water. How would you spell that? W-O-D-D-E-R, water.
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 W-A-D-A. Water. Wada?
My kids will FaceTime with my mother and, like, make her say things in her New Jersey accent. They go, let's call grandma and make her say coffee.
Coffee?
Coffee. They think it's hysterical. Call grandma, make her say coffee.
She answer the phone every time?
FaceTime, usually, yeah. Usually she does. Yeah. Well, usually if you call, there's something wrong. So what's wrong? You know, one of those type of deals. So,
you're like crying wolf on this one, aren't you?
Yeah, this one. But the kids, you know, they like to hear that kind of stuff. So you make them happy. You do for your kids, Ryan. You do for your kids.
One of these days you're going to need some. She's not going to answer the phone.
I know.
She thinks you're trying to get her to say coffee.
Coffee, yeah. They just watch me say coffee.
She's going to answer and yell at you.
Yeah.
Not saying coffee. I think your mom's always answering.
What else has she got to do? Seriously, your parents too.
Yeah, that's true.
If they don't answer, you're like, oh my God, what's wrong?
Oh my God.
What's going on with them? Why aren't they answering the phone? I wanted to say this one thing about Alex Gordon. And you played the drop of George Brett. And that comes from the podcast he did with me like last August, I think it was. And I asked him, George, in that podcast, I said, what's the biggest regret that you had? You know, and he goes, not having my kids actually see me play baseball is one of George's biggest regrets. And as we know, Alex Gordon is getting to that age. Alex Gordon has children. Alex Gordon was the next George Brett, so there's a lot of comparisons that have been made to George and Alex Gordon over the years. I think part of the reason, too, Josh, that Alex may not want to be traded is because he talks to George and hears George say, you know what, one of the biggest regrets that I had is not having my kids see me play. And at this stage of his career, it may be more important for a guy like Alex Gordon to have his kids see him every single day play in person than it is to go play for a contender and go play for a winner and to finish his career here in Kansas City. So his kids truly get a great opportunity of remembering what it was like when he played baseball, because that's not something you can get back. You can't go and, you know, recreate a job or get a new job doing the same thing that you are doing right now. And you talk to the Brett kids, and besides Jackson, the other two, they don't really remember their dad being a Hall of Fame baseball player. They remember the stories about their dad being a Hall of Fame baseball player, but they don't remember those moments. And when you get to that certain age, you want your kids to be able to enjoy what you're doing right now. So I could definitely see something like that factor in to Alex Gordon, where it's more important for his family and them to watch him every single night as he's tailing off his career than go play in Chicago for 3 months and try to win a world championship.
Yeah,
or something.
I mean,
like
I think it's not been a secret. Family is very, very, very important to Gordon.
Sure,
right?
It is.
So
yes. Yep.
Something like that, I wouldn't say would be out of the question at all.
Right.
You know, play your. I think moving them might be the bigger issue, right?
Well, you don't move them
during
during
a season. That type of thing would have to be a consideration as well. But yeah, it would be a nice little benefit to think about at the end of your career.
Yeah, I mean, you got
to see me as a. I would like them to remember me as a Royal.
Yeah, or as a player and see me play every day, you know, because quite honestly, if Alex Gordon is going to make his home here in Kansas City when he's done playing baseball, let's just use that for, you're not going to move your family to a different city, you know, for a one-year contract with, you know, the Reds or whoever the hell you sign a one-year contract with. You're not going to up and move your family for an entire year. And so they're not going to get a lot of opportunity to see you because they've got school and they've got other things going on. From a family standpoint, where Alex Gordon is in his life and the family guy that he is, I quite honestly would think it would be just as important to him to let those kiddos see him play, because I think if you ask George, he probably wishes he had the kids about 10 years earlier so they could have experienced a little bit of what his Hall of Fame baseball career was about.
Pretty cool. Last night, Nicky Lopez making his major league debut. He comes up with the knock. Whit Merrifield, who essentially moved aside from second base to accommodate the Royals breaking up Nicky Lopez.
Was there a torch passing yesterday?
I believe there was. I believe there was a symbolic one, or maybe not. But they went a little back-to-back with a couple of interesting moments last night in the seventh.
Here's the 0-2, and Whit swings and lines it fair inside the left field line and all the way down into the corner. And with his 500th career hit, Whit's going to get an RBI, scoring Billy Hamilton from first base. And the Royals' lead is 10-4. Swung on, line to left field, and it is a base hit. Here's Whit around third. Here's the throw to the plate. And Nicky Lopez has his first big league hit and his first big league RBI. One pitch after Whit Merrifield got his 500th career hit.
So there you go. A little twofer. 500th hit followed by first hit. Back-to-back. in the seventh inning last night.
I didn't even know that was career hit 500 for Witt, to be honest with you. But hit number one was pretty nice.
There you go. Ned Yost on the back-to-back milestones. Don't see that every night. That's pretty cool.
Well, and really cool the way that it happened, too, with the guy who decided that, you know what, it's best for the team to move the right field, to let this guy come up and play second base because overall it will make our team better.
What'd you say?
Get his 500th hit. And then have the opportunity to have the kid come up right behind him who replaced him at second base, get his first hit. And Ryan, you made the comment before the show started. There's nothing like romanticizing about baseball. Like, the sport just lends itself to these kind of romantic story type moments. That's why I think a lot of people love baseball, because you get moments like that that are really just cool, man. Like, they're Hollywood type moments, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, I continue to see things like that too. Like Kling pointed out yesterday, like, there's no other sport that you get the, like, call-up day story and the opening debut type stuff. Like, I think with Patrick Mahomes when he debuted in Denver, like, it was fun. Mm-hmm. But there wasn't that same type of hype as, like, an MLB
debut. Well, even those milestone things. I mean, did they stop the game when, like, Mahomes threw his 50th touchdown?
No.
It's just 500 hit.
You make sure Andy was on to the next play. He didn't even know.
500 hit. They make sure they roll the ball in, authenticate it, do that whole number. And
I mean, I know they showed something on the Jumbotron, but, like, I remember when Cal Ripken broke Gehrig's streak, and they, like, stopped everything in the seventh inning and, like, put him on the back of a convertible, or like driving him around the warning track and things like
that. I remember distinctly him running and high-fiving the fans and doing all of that kind of stuff.
It was wild. Like, they stopped the game for it.
Right.
And I'm not saying that you need to stop the game for certain things like that, but I think that it's certainly one of the reasons why baseball lends itself to being a little more romanticized, is because maybe it's because of the boring nature of baseball. Like, you know, they need something to capture fans' attentions and to keep you around, to keep casual fans around. But I don't know, to me, it's just awesome when you have moments like
that. But I don't think, you know, Whit Merrifield getting his 500th hit and rolling the ball in is doing anything to keep fans around. You know what I'm saying? Like, the Cal Ripken stuff obviously does that.
Right.
Kind of stuff.
You know, I'm not trying to put the two moments on the same level, but I think that at least when it comes to milestones in a career, and it just always seems to be that way, too, that, like, when somebody does something big, it's either somebody on their team had a story that was integral to it. And, like, there's always some connection. And it just was amazing to see it last night again happen with literally on the very next pitch as well.
And I'm just amazed, too, that for whatever reason, it seems like over the last 5 years when a big moment has happened in Royals baseball, it's been Ryan's inning. And Ryan doesn't do the radio all that much. And this series, he is on radio, and there's Whit Merrifield's 500th hit. And then the next pitch is Nicky Lopez's first career major league hit, driving in Whit Merrifield. And I just think it's cool that it just seems like when Ryan's behind the mic, the big moments happen, and we're able to kind of have a passing of the torch from Denny to Ryan, as Ryan being kind of the guy who narrates everything that has gone on during this generation of Royals baseball. And that's a pretty cool thing, because Denny got to be the guy that narrated everything that was really good in the last generation of Royals baseball. So you can kind of romanticize about that, too, if you want.
Whit Merrifield, before the game yesterday, discussing kind of moving aside for Nicky Lopez. Dayton Moore talked about they kind of went to him and made sure he was cool with moving off second base and going to the outfield, and knowing that this was a move for the team, and Whit Merrifield took it like a pro.
I feel like I worked, you know, and turned myself into one of the best second basemen in the world, really. And now it's best for this team for me to play outfield, and I'm excited for that challenge. I'm ready for that challenge. I'm excited for Nicky. You know, I really am. He's a great kid, a great player from what I've seen, and I'm excited to see what he can do up here. I really think he's going to help our team. And at the end of the day, I'm sick of losing. I really am. And we think he's going to make us better, and whatever he's going to make us better is what we're excited for.
There you go. Sick of losing.
That's Whit Merrifield in a nutshell.
This is what it takes to win, then let's do it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's it right there, man. That's what you want to hear from your leader.
I did make myself one of the best second basemen in the world.
Yeah, let's make this clear. I'm one of the 30 best in the world at what I do.
Just so you know, you moved me.
Right.
Comma. One of the best in the world. Comma. Off this base.
Right.
Just saying.
Just letting you know. But that's fair to say.
Which you should. Absolutely.
Because when I first heard it, I'm like, the best in the world. Well, no, he's right about that. No, yeah, there's only 30 people playing second base in the best league in the world when
Mike
it comes
Moustakas
to baseball.
Mike Moustakas is one of them.
Is he playing second base now?
Yeah, welcome to 2019.
I had no idea that he was playing second
base. Yes, he is. He's actually doing pretty well.
Mike Moustakas is playing second base for the Brewers.
Yes.
Holy cow. Shows how much Brewers baseball I've watched this year.
Really lock in on that. It's good. It's good stuff.
Yeah, second base? Oh, my God. Really? Moose is playing second?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's even had a start at third base.
913-576-7610. If you know yesterday's player of the game that Cody gave you on the postgame show for a chance to win Topper's Pizza, 913-576-7610 to play. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
Time now for the player of the game brought to you by Mazarese Jewelry, for generations of distinctive jewelry. If you were locked into Cody's postgame show last night, he gave you the player of the game. Pretty simple. All you have to do is wait till 7:45 the next day. Give us a ring. If you can tell us who that is, I'll get you $25 to Topper's Pizza. You get it wrong, well, we just give it to the next person.
We don't get enough pizza in here in the morning, Ryan, and I hold you accountable for that.
I apologize. Well, there's nobody open right now. It's 7:48 in the morning.
There's Quick Trip. There's breakfast pizza. There's Casey's.
So you want me to get us
the pizza? Correct. You are now in charge of bringing in pizza at least once a week.
I got it.
Josh will tell you for it.
So you get it right, you get 25 to Topper's. You get it wrong,
we're going to bring in pizza, and Josh is going to pay for it.
That was pretty good. You get it wrong, the next person gets to compete for $50 to Topper's Pizza. Bob's just going to leave the studio after that one. Everyone who wins is also qualified for the grand prize, or grand prize, however you'd like to put it, a $500 gift card to Mazarese Jewelry at the end of each month. Jared is in KCK, and he is today's contestant. Jared, do you know the player of the game that Cody told you last night?
That was one Whit Merrifield.
Let's find out.
Here's the 0-2. And Whit swings and lines it fair inside the left field line and all the way down into the corner. And with his 500th career hit, Whit's going to get an RBI, scoring Billy Hamilton from first base. And the Royals lead is 10-4 in the bottom of the seventh inning.
Three-hit Whit last night. Whit Merrifield leading the way for the Kansas City Royals. Also showing Nicky Lopez how it's done.
I think there was a little of that last night. Let's not kid ourselves a little bit. Fine, they're knocking me off of second base. I'm going to show the kid what it's all about.
Congratulations to Jared. He gets hooked up with $25 at Topper's Pizza. Also qualify for that grand prize, a $500 gift card to Mazarese Jewelry. We'll announce that winner coming up at the end of the month.
I like.
That was nice of Cody not to forget about Whit.
Yeah. Three for four last night. Three runs scored, an RBI.
Whit was pushed aside.
Yeah. Moved aside Whit. And all the attention's on Nicky Lopez. Yep. And what does Whit do? Go out last night, has more hits than anybody in the game. Jorge Soler with three big hits last night as well. But three hits, three for four, three runs scored, one driven in for Whit Merrifield last night. Also with two doubles in the game for good measure. So congratulations to Whit for a job well done, and an even more impressive major league debut for Nicky Lopez.
That was an old school keep the line moving last
really
night.
Really was. It was fun. Last night was fun. I'm not going to lie. Like last night,
those
last
first
night
two
was
innings
fun.
Were really, really good.
Yeah. Last night was a good night to be a Royals fan, and you watch what they did last night, especially as you mentioned, Josh, in those first two innings where they just kind of kept the line moving, pounded out 14 hits, 11 runs last night, and you think to yourself, man, this is what we expect. And Danny Duffy went out there and was really good through the first two innings last night and made it through the five. And then the bullpen took over and got the job done. Scott Barlow, nice job out of him to come in with the guys on second and third.
He's in the circle of trust.
Yeah, two innings of really good baseball out of him. Boxberger coming in to close things off for the Royals with a strikeout. So things were good last night for the Royals. And when you watch games like that, that's when you go back to thinking, you know what? They could potentially compete for a wild card. If they can play like that every night and they can show that every single night, yeah, they're going to have an opportunity to compete and be in the mix for that second wild card. The key, though, is that consistency, Josh. Can they now stay consistent and put up performances like that? If they can do that more often than not, then maybe we're talking about a playoff run in August.
All right, from today's edition of What Does Vegas Know? Comes from Bovada. Put out its odds on who becomes the next basketball coach at Michigan. John Beilein going to the NBA, to the Cavs.
Right.
Some of the names being thrown out there. Chris Beard at Texas Tech.
He's got the best odds to take over that Michigan job.
Now he just signed a big new contract with Texas Tech, but so, you know, you never know. Another interesting name, Juwan Howard.
That's very interesting. Yeah.
He's been an NBA assistant and actually interviewing for some NBA jobs recently as well. Mike White, who's the Florida coach.
The former Chiefs coach.
That's right. Yeah. A couple of the assistants in there as well at decent enough odds. Bobby Hurley, Jay Wright, Porter Moser. But the second favorite behind Chris Beard, Rick Pitino.
I think it's the best choice. Don't you think he's motivated?
Pitino.
Absolutely. Is there a show cause with him like there was with some of these other guys that you hire? I don't know that there is. I think ultimately Pitino, I don't know if he was wrongly terminated, but that was definitely a quick jump by Louisville to get rid of Rick Pitino and to move on from him a couple of years ago when that scandal was going on there at Louisville. And look, you're the head coach. You're responsible for everything that goes on in your program. But after taking a couple of years off, I mean, I think if you're Michigan right now, you're losing a really good coach. You want to hire the best possible guy out there, the best possible guy that's available right now that would take no buyout, would take no, you know, having to convince him to leave another job for this job, would be Rick Pitino. I think it would be one of the easier hires for the University of Michigan. And quite honestly, if I'm running the University of Michigan and I'm their athletic director, I'm going after Rick Pitino. I'm asking Rick Pitino if he wants that job. And I think he would be right now the best man for that job. I know there's been some rumors in Oklahoma City about Billy Donovan potentially getting that job and Oklahoma City ownership wanting Billy Donovan to take that job in Michigan. They wouldn't be sorry to see him go down there. The Chris Beard one at Texas Tech is very interesting, but you just took Texas Tech, man, to a Final Four national championship game. You got to be thinking that's probably your ceiling down there, right? Like, are you ever going to be able to do that again at Texas Tech? Maybe now is the time to jump and go to the University of Michigan.
Probably a little late to leave them at this point in time if you did that. But, yeah, you can't control when there are openings.
Right,
either, so.
You can't. And so
Pitino, Louisville should have never fired him. I've been in that camp from the get-go. Like, they should have waited it out.
Sure.
They could have gotten through that.
Right.
I didn't feel like it was that massive a deal where they couldn't have just weathered the storm. I think they acted too quickly.
And maybe there's other stuff behind the scenes. Like, this was their opportunity to get rid of Rick Pitino, too. You know, sometimes you have that employee that you just hate but does a really good
job.
Here's
our out.
And here's our out, and we're going to take our out just to kind of move on from this.
And
you know?
I know he was, you know, he was lobbying to be the St. John's coach.
Sure.
And didn't get that one.
I thought that would have been a good hire for St. John's, too. A New York guy coaching St. John's to try to bring them back to prominence. That would have been a nice hire for them.
So, I always refer to it as the inconvenient truth of sports is that if you're really good, they'll look past a lot of things.
Sure they will.
It doesn't necessarily extend to coaches for some reason. Like, I look around the league at some of the guys who are back.
Bruce Pearl has a job.
And that's the thing that's crazy to me. It's like Rick Pitino right now is one of the top 10 coaches in NCAA, right?
No,
like,
question.
If he were to have a job right now, he would be a top 10
if
coach.
You were to rank, I think,
and yet he's unemployed.
I think, Ryan, if you were to rank the top 10 basketball coaches in America right now, Rick Pitino is on that list, even though he's not coaching
right.
the team.
And
so I think Rick Pitino is a guy that you absolutely 100% should look at and say, hey, this is a guy that we should hire, and this is a guy that we should bring into our organization. So
I'm assuming we're still on the air.
Right? I don't know. If we are, let us know. 69306, the power just went out here in the building. But the computer's running. I mean, that's weird.
Generator kicks on really fast.
Yeah, so
clearly. But, no, to me, like, and I'm not trying to absolve anything that Rick Pitino may or may not have done in his past and all of that. Like, I'm just saying that we extend that to athletes. I don't understand why it's not extended to coaches when –
No, I think it is extended to coaches, though. Bruce Pearl's coaching right now.
He had a barbecue. Big deal.
Urban Meyer got another job after harboring Aaron Hernandez.
Like, I think about Art Briles, right?
Well, that's a different story, though, man. We're talking, like, you know, like that guy was looking the other way when rapes were taking place, okay? That's a different ballgame.
I mean, there are players that we are willing to give second opportunities to. There were guys like Luke Heimlich who people were willing to give second opportunities to, who is now pitching in La Liga or something. Mm-hmm. Like, we extend that opportunity to a lot of people, and yet, you know, Urban Meyer, who may have covered up for a domestic abuser, mm-hmm. like, he doesn't have a job. And I'm not saying it's a travesty that he doesn't.
Well, Urban Meyer did have a job. He retired, but he got another job after Florida. He went right on to Ohio State. And right now, if you were going to hire a coach, you're still calling. Like the USC thing is hot for Urban Meyer right now.
And yes, we're still on the air.
If you don't think like USC is going to target Urban Meyer in like 2 seconds as soon as Todd Helton fails out there at USC.
Yeah, he's up.
He'll be back.
Someone's going to hire Rick Pitino.
Yeah, someone
UCLA
is.
UCLA didn't probably get very far on it. St. John's, he seemed like he was doing more of the lobbying, but
right.
If he wants back in, somebody's going to hire him. I don't think Louisville should have fired him.
Yeah, I know you're in that camp, and I look at it as like they were clearly looking for an out with that guy.
Your chance to win a gift pack to the Flying Horse Tap Room. That's our 8 o'clock hour prize just for listening. Find out details in a couple of minutes and going for something next.
Fesco in the morning.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.